the Sunday morning service of Cleveland Christian Fellowship. Hallelujah. This is a place where miracles take place. People receive their healing. They're delivered. They're set free. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is the Father's house. Hallelujah. On the journey, I get lost in my mistakes. Looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. The story isn't over, the story's just begun. Failure won't define me, cause that's what my Father does. Failure won't define me, cause it's what my Father does. Ooh, lay your burdens down.
your course. Aren't you thankful this morning that you have a relationship? We have a relationship. We have a promise with our Father that we're able to come to Him with whatever need that we have, whatever thing that we're dealing with, big or small, that He cares. And we're able to enter His courts with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, that you've already taken care of everything that we would need. Everything that we would need. Oh, you've already won it all. They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way. We've heard the tide will never change. They have trust in you, God, you have the final say. I just felt an impression when we were singing that. I just saw different parents, and it's probably too just being a parent and knowing what, you know, we experience at different levels, whether your child is a baby, an infant, or whether your child's grown. But I just felt like the Lord wanted to minister to those parents that are dealing with an obstacle, whether it be that your baby's not sleeping through the night, because that can be exhausting, I've been there, or whether it be that your grown adult child hasn't come home, or your grown adult child is going through a struggle. And I just feel like the Lord wanted to encourage you that he's the God of moving the immovable and breaking the unbreakable. And things that seem impossible to us are not impossible with him. That he is the way when it seems to be no way. When you're up in the middle of the night like, Lord, I just want some sleep. I don't know what to do to comfort this child. And or whether you're, you know, driving on the way home and you're like, Lord, I want to comfort my child who I can't even find right now. You know, he's the God of the impossible, and he's the God of making the way when there seems to be no way. He knows what it is that needs to happen. He knows what it is. So just go to him and just say, Lord, I know that you know the way that needs to be. And I thank you, Lord, that that way is the way that's happening. You know the problem. You know the issue. You know what it is. I might not know, but you know. So I just thank you, Father, that you are the great physician. I thank you, Lord, that you heal little bodies, that you heal broken minds. We thank you, Father. You are the way when it seems to be no way. I just want to sing that one more time before we go into our next song. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you, God, you have the final say. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you, God, you have the final say. Oh, thank you, Lord. Just take a minute and just thank him for those things. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the things that you are working behind the scenes. Oh, we thank you, Lord.
Speak life into my soul. Who can spin the world around and hold me ever close? Who can search the depths of me and love me to the core? Who can the world I see and walks of your love. I can't get enough. I just want you. The Lord of my soul, King of my heart, Jesus is you. I'll sing of your love. I can't get enough. I just want you. The Lord of my soul, King of my heart, Jesus is you.
Just worship him today.
Father, we praise you. We lift our voice to you. We praise you, Lord, that you're good and all that you do is good. Hallelujah. He is good and his mercy endures forever. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. I tell you, he gives you something to shout about. He gives you something to rejoice about because he alone is good. Oh, Father, we trust you. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I tell you, I refuse to allow my enthusiasm to be curbed by anything going on around me. I read something from Daniel McCarty, one of our missionaries, this morning in his newsletter. He says, the devil is a liar. Just because this invisible enemy wants to kill all of our enthusiasm, all of our optimism about this year still can turn out to be a great year for each of us and for our families. He says, Psalm 142:3 says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. Oh, glory to God. Keep your trust in Him. Don't you dare take a step back, but you continue to press forward with the gospel, with the message of hope in a hopeless and dying world. Oh, glory to God. I was thinking about this morning. We have a message of hope. Now is the time to reach out to a lost and dying world. Now is the time to invite somebody to come. Why? Because I believe that we have a message, the good news. The gospel is the good news about a good God. And I believe that we have a message that has the power to transform an entire family. I believe it with all my heart. Amen. So let's reach out to those around us. Let's invite them to church. Let's get them in the presence of God so that we can feed them full of the Word of God. Because it alone has the power to change every situation they may be dealing with. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, it's not my morning to preach. I'll yield. But we can worship God. Amen. Praise God. Turn around, greet somebody next to you. So glad you're in the house with us this morning. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, God bless you. A big God bless you to those of you who are with us this morning. I'd like to welcome everybody joining us online. God bless you for tuning in. Glad you are a part of the service with us this morning. Glory to God. It is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, if this is your first time visiting with us at Cleveland Christian Fellowship, we'd like to especially welcome you. If you would, please slip up your hand. The ushers have a packet of information they'd like to give to you. God bless you for being with us this morning. Again, if this is your first time to Cleveland Christian Fellowship, keep your hand lifted up so they can see you. Inside that packet is a card. If you would, please take it out, fill it out, and place it in the offering plate when it comes by in just a moment. That'd be a blessing and a help to us. Gary and Kay Dalton, if you'd please stand. These guys would like to meet with you immediately following the service as you exit out to the front left of the auditorium. Once again, just to welcome you, say God bless you for coming. Amen. Give them a big hand. So glad you chose to be with us. Praise God. I know with school getting ready to take place, this weekend's a big vacation weekend, but we are glad you are here with us. Speaking of school starts back this week. We're excited. We got teachers coming up on tomorrow. Actually, tomorrow. They'll be starting tomorrow, so this place will be a hub of activity. Amen. And so we're looking forward to all of our students returning on Friday. And we are excited. You know, we don't do this just to get a paycheck. Amen. We do this because we believe in Christian education, believe in these kids, and we're always excited for them to come back and always look forward to the school year. So keep them in prayer. Keep the kids, the families, the staff in your prayers. We embark on a new school year. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, something you could do for us, we are, if you're looking for a place to serve, we have opportunities in several departments. And so particularly in here on Sunday mornings, if you would like to serve in the area of the usher department, see Brother Gary about four rows back here. Gary, raise your hand, wave your hand. We got opportunities for you. Amen. All over the building, there's things going on. And so find a place to serve, hook up, find a team, place to serve the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Well, you ready to give this morning? Let's try that again. Hey, you ready to give this morning? Praise the Lord. Amen. If you need an offering envelope for your giving, these guys will see that you get one. There's also some in the pews in front of you. So if you'll lift your hand, they'll give you an offering envelope. If you're giving by text, you can text CCF Church and the dollar amount to 73256. You can give online, go to CCF Church. missionsunderground.us. Click the giving link. As you click the giving link, remember today is Mission Sunday. Amen. And so as you click that giving link, it'll give you the opportunity to give. Mission Sunday. Praise the Lord. That newsletter that I was reading from Brother Daniel, he was talking about good things going on in Myanmar and Burma. And even though there's a coup taking place over there, the gospel's going forward. And I tell you, these just all across the board, good things are going on as we continue to support our missionaries. Amen. We are a missionary outreach. And so our desire is to spread the word. Amen. By sending missionaries throughout the world, and they are doing a good job. We just had the opportunity. Wasn't Wednesday good? We heard from Caleb Gober, and the Canaanland guys were here with us, and it was good to visit with those guys. I tell you, just these guys have found hope. They found hope, and we believe in what they're doing. And so if you weren't able to be here, we do encourage you to go online and listen to that message. It'll set you free. Amen. It was good. So you don't want to miss out on that. Amen. Praise God. Well, get your offering in your hand. Let's release faith as we sow our seed, as we bring our tithe and offering before the Lord. Let's say this together. This is my seed. I sow it into the kingdom of God. I sow it because I love God and want to see Cleveland Christian Fellowship continue to fulfill what God has called us to do. All of our needs and expansion desires are abundantly supplied at CCF. I believe that as I tithe and give, the windows of heaven are open to me. Money comes to me. All of my debts are being reduced and eliminated. Good opportunities to increase financially are coming my way. We're getting our jobs, homes, properties, vehicles, sales, and whatever else we need. Thank you, Lord, for the favor of God on our lives and the grace to prosper as you promised us in your word. Glory to God. You're a debt-reducing God. You're faithful who promised. We lay hold of every promise this morning, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you give.
Say, the Lord is good to me, and his mercy endures forever. Well, we thank God for his loving kindness and great mercy. Amen. His great compassion toward us. Tony, you want to come up here and give us a report from last week and what's going on with you? Even though you have that Alabama shirt on, we'll let you. I mean to catch you off guard, but just anything you want to tell us about.
I knew you were going to do this.
It's hard to get something past a prophet, brother.
don't hold it against me because I got the Alabama shirt on. I covered up. I don't know what to say. There's something about when you go to the doctor and they diagnose you not just one way, but two different ways with a problem, and then at two different hospitals. And that's a long story behind that, because I diagnosed at Tynova and then diagnosed it at Erlanger. But when you come up and get prayed for, and you do what the word says, and then you go in for the procedure that they're 99.9% sure is your problem, and there's nothing there. That's all I can say. There's nothing there. You know, I talked with Pastor Mark. You know, I did the thing. I went to the doctor. I took the medicine. I did everything, you know, and there's nothing there. So You know, I'm good. I told Pastor Mark the other day, my testimony is, you know, whatever was there, whatever was wrong, you know, whatever, I just believe it got took care of. I just believe that I got took care of, and that I believe that I have to go back for a follow-up in 3 weeks. I don't know what they're going to tell me there. What to do, I don't know. This is new territory for me. But I'm good. I feel great. There are no symptoms in my body, you know. There's no blockages in any of my arteries or any veins going to my heart, nothing. And that's my confession, and I'm sticking to it. And that's about all I can say. I'm good, you know. I really am. I'm just I gotta stay, you know. I can't go back to my normal lifestyle because they cut this place in my arm here, you know, and they told me, I said, well, if you do anything to hit it or bump it, you know, it can open back up and you can bleed to death in 90 seconds. Well, I'm not into that. So I'm gonna do exactly like they say, and it's gonna be just fine, and I'm healed.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. Thank you, Tony. But you understand what he's telling you is when the doctors went in, they said, we don't see any blockages. We don't see any, you know, amen. And Tony says he feels good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, give the Lord praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy and your healing power. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Praise God. Let's begin this morning with Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, 13. Praise God. As John said, if you didn't get a chance to hear Caleb go over Canaan Land, those guys were with us, and Caleb preached an outstanding message on grace, but I'd really call the message on grace and deliverance, or how grace, you know, manifests in your deliverance. And I think it'd be a blessing to you to hear that service. Ephesians chapter 15, verse number 13. Now may the God of hope... Don't you like that? He's the God of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Amplified Bible says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in His promises. I like that. That you would abound in hope and overflow with confidence in His promises. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed, E.D., has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're in the middle of a series, this is actually part 6, on every spiritual blessing is ours. And we're looking at these spiritual blessings, but we are not only looking at these spiritual blessings, but we're emphasizing how to receive them. Amen. Everything that Jesus Christ bought and paid for us at Calvary belongs to us now. Everybody say now. Now. Amen. But we have to know what belongs to us, and we have to appropriate by faith what belongs to us in order to experience these blessings in everyday life. And that's where we want them. Can you say amen? So we're looking at some of these blessings and emphasizing how to receive them by faith. Last time we mentioned that deliverance from Satan, deliverance from his power and control, deliverance from sinful habits, deliverance from addictions, that belongs to us. And next time, now on Wednesday nights we're specifically talking about healing, but next time we're going to look specifically at Bible principles on how to receive your deliverance. That's powerful principles that help us all, glory to God. But we left off talking about hope, because without hope, there is no receiving. And in this series, we're emphasizing how to receive these blessings. Well, we receive by faith, but faith is dependent upon hope. Amen. Hope by itself is not how we receive from God. You know that. We receive every blessing of God by faith. Amen. We obtain the promises, Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith. But faith must have hope. Are you listening to me? Without hope, faith has nothing to work with. And so we need to realize that. And Bible hope has two main ingredients. Number one is desire. The second main ingredient to Bible hope is expectation or anticipation. You anticipate and you expect something good to happen to you. You anticipate and you expect the promises of God to come true in your life. You expect God to come through for you. You expect a breakthrough. You expect miracles. But it also has the connotation very strongly of a strong desire. If you don't have a strong desire for something, you probably won't receive it by faith. You know, Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire. That's not a word that's usually emphasized in that scripture, but whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things you desire, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, take those things by faith. Believe you receive those things. Take them by faith. Amen. And you'll have them. But if you don't have a desire, there's nothing for your faith to take hold of. I promise you, I've seen this over and over and over again in over 40 years now. People pray about something and they say they have a desire for something, but 4 days later, they don't remember what they prayed for. Well, without desire, the faith wasn't going to work, see? Faith takes hold of what you desire. If a person has hope, they greatly desire something. And they expect it. They have an anticipation. They expect it. They expect and anticipate that God can give it to them. Listen to me now, because, see, faith and hope are a lot more tied together and similar in a lot more ways than people have ever understood. But people believe with hope, you believe it's possible to have something. Notice my terminology. You believe it's possible. You believe God can help you. You believe God can deliver you. You believe God can heal you. You believe God can save you or rescue in whatever area. Amen. Glory to God. You do not believe the situation is hopeless. You don't believe that you just have to live with something. If you believe you just have to live with something or put up with something, then you're without hope. Amen. But see, then faith comes along. Faith believes that you received your hope. You believe God can do it, but faith believes you received your hope and therefore are right now healed and delivered and rescued and set free. Glory to God. Oh, can you see that? Amen. Faith believes that God can do it, but faith believes that He has done it. It believes it has received what God has done, and it believes that you are right now free and healed and delivered and blessed and helped. So hope and faith work together. Everybody say they work together. Amen. Hope is step one. Faith is step two. You know, sometimes you can skip step one. I can skip step one, I think, and get on this stage. They're just two steps. But there's some steps you can't skip. You can't skip this step. In other words, you'll never get to step two if you don't take step one. Hope is step one. Faith is step two. Romans 4:18 says, very interesting. We know that's a powerful example of faith when he talks about Abraham and how he, you know, he didn't consider the promises and, amen, he believed God and didn't waver and all of that, you know. But it says to start with in Romans 4:18, it says, Abraham, contrary to hope, in other words, there was no natural reason to hope. There was no scientific reason to hope. There was no medical reason to hope. It was impossible in the natural for Abraham and Sarah to have a baby. But Abraham, contrary to hope, amen, there was no reason for him to expect his situation to ever change, but regardless of what it looked like, regardless of what it seemed like, regardless of what the truth was in the natural, he had God's Word. God's Word will always give you hope if you let it. I said God's Word, His promises, who you are in Christ, what belongs to you, your redemptive privileges, what Jesus did for you on the cross. God's Word will always give us hope if we will allow it. Glory to God. So Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope, believed, and his faith caused his hope to become real in everyday life. I'll say that again. Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope, he had hope because he had God's Word, believed, and his faith caused his hope to become true. That's hope and faith working together. Do you see that? I love that. And then in Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast our confession of faith That's the King James Bible. Let us hold fast our confession of faith. Now, here's interesting. Years ago, somebody came along and pointed out, and they were right. The word translated faith in Hebrews 10:23 is translated everywhere else in the New Testament as hope. Let us hold fast our confession of faith. Let us hold fast our confession of hope. But as the UBS Word Study points out, one of my favorite ones, you know, the UBS Word Studies is used by people to translate Bibles into languages that have never had a language. And so they really break down the Greek in great detail. And then they say this, they said, in Hebrews, as in the Old Testament, the book of Hebrews, we're talking about Hebrews 10:23, in Hebrews, as in the Old Testament, faith and hope are very close in meaning. You know, we know you're not supposed to substitute hope for faith, but you have to understand that sometimes when you see the word hope, it actually almost means faith more than it means what we think of as hope. You follow what I'm saying? So it says, and it goes on to say that 11:23 could be translated. Here's the way they translate it. I like it. Let us hold fast to our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hoped for. You have a hope, amen, but now you're going to hold fast your confession of faith that you believed you received that hope. You took that hope by faith, and you hold fast to your confession of faith in the unshakable things that we have hope for. Again, what I'm trying to point out to you here is that we see faith and hope working together. Glory to God. And then I love the rest of Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast to our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Now, because it's been so ingrained in all of us, everybody in this room probably, it's been deeply ingrained in us not to substitute hope for faith. You cannot believe just hoping and praying. I'm just hoping and praying. Well, you're not going to get anything. You're going to have to, you know, believe you receive. You're going to have to operate in faith. And it's been ingrained in us, some of us for 40 years or longer, not to substitute hope for faith. It's been so ingrained in us that we almost ignore hope. But you remember what 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, don't you? Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. How many messages have you heard on faith? How many messages have you heard on love? Now, how many messages have you ever heard on hope? Let's not ignore hope, amen. I said, let's not ignore hope. Dr. Roy Hicks, using a play on words, said, faith without hope is hopeless. Faith, and that's just a way of saying if you don't have hope, there's nothing for your faith to work with. Glory to God. So because hope is so important, let's just talk, let's just finish this out this morning talking more about hope so that we can receive all these blessings that belong to us. Can you say amen? Hope is not just wishful thinking. I mean, everybody has that. Bible hope, the word hope in the Bible does not mean wishful thinking where you're hoping against all odds that something will happen some way, somehow you'll get something or something will come to pass. No, Bible hope is not just hoping and praying that something magical will happen and just fix your problem and make it go away. Amen. Even though you don't really believe it, you don't really expect it, you don't really think that that's going to happen, you just wish it would happen. Well, everybody wishes that whatever problem they have would just magically go away, but that's not Bible hope. No, Bible hope is a confident expectation that you will receive that which you strongly desire. Amen. Amen. I like Barclay's in his commentary. He said, the Christian hope is not simply a trembling, hesitant hope that perhaps the promises of God may be true. It is the confident expectation that they cannot be anything but true. Glory to God. Amen. So Bible is not just hoping and praying like you've heard, just hoping and praying. I just wish it'll happen. No, nothing's going to happen that way. No, but hope is a... So and it's important for people to realize not to substitute hope for faith. Many times people, what people call faith is in reality hope. But it's not true. And it's, you know, if you don't know any better, it sounds like it's true, but hope is extremely important, but it's not how we obtain the promises. I'm reminded of the story, maybe this will illustrate it to you best, of this pastor's wife. She was a godly woman, a woman of faith, a woman of prayer, you know, good woman, holy woman. And she passed away. And she said with her dying breath, I believe with all my heart, God is going to heal me. Well, that's hope. That's not faith. See, God is going to do something as future tense. That's not believing that you have it. Amen. And so she, you know, just kind of a gloomy death pall hung over the whole congregation for a year or so there. Brother Hagin came along preaching at that church, and he preached on faith, and he talked about how faith believes it has, not is going to someday in the future get, but it believes that it has what God has promised. You believe, you receive. You take it by faith. You claim it. You say it's mine right now. Glory to God, I've got it because God's Word says I have it. And the pastor said to him, he said, you know, after several days, he said, you've just removed a whole burden off my shoulders. He said, I was confused, even though I'm a full gospel Pentecostal pastor, believe in divine healing, speak in tongues, so forth. He said, but my wife, you know, I was confused why she died, because she said with her dying breath, God is going to heal me. But he said, after listening to you teach on faith all week long, he says, I realize right now that she thought that was faith. I thought that was faith, but I see right now that wasn't faith at all. That's why it wouldn't work. No, because it wasn't real faith. Amen. So we cannot substitute hope for faith. We won't get results. We receive anything that God has provided for us by faith. By faith we obtain the promises. Amen. Glory to God. By grace through faith are you saved. It's faith, not hope, that receives from God. So let me make the difference, and I alluded to it right there in that story, but let me make the difference real simple to you. You can talk a lot about this, but how do you distinguish between faith and hope? How do I know that I'm operating in faith versus operating in hope? Real simple, glory to God. Hope deals with the future. Faith deals with the presence. Hope always deals with the future. It's always future tense. It's always thinking that something's going to happen, that something will happen. I know in God's timing and God's got this, but and people say all kind of good things, and it sounds really good when you hear me preaching, but you read it on social media and so forth, and what they're saying sounds really, really good, but if you break it down and analyze it and really look at it, they're talking about hope, not faith. No, somebody says, sometimes people say, well, I believe with all my heart God is going to one day, I'm going to get my breakthrough, I will not be denied, and they sound so strong and full of faith and so forth. Well, when people are talking about something that's in the future tense, that's not faith. Somebody, again, you know, it's just a play on words, but Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance. Now faith is. Faith is now. If it's not now, it's not faith. Faith is now. Faith is now. Can you say amen? Amen. It's hope. You confidently expect that it will one day happen. That's good, but it's not faith. Glory to God. Hope always deals with the future and believes something is possible. Hope says, I have it now. It's mine. I believed I received it. I claimed it by faith. I took it, and it's mine. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. But again, let's not shortchange hope. You cannot have faith without first having hope. Faith is dependent on hope. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have, and this is a good definition of hope, if you don't have a positive imagination of good things happening to you, there's nothing for your faith to give substance to. A positive imagination of good things happening to you is hope. And so if you don't have that positive imagination, then faith is the substance of things hoped for, there's nothing for your faith to give substance to. To make that clear, other translations, for instance, one translation says, faith means we are confident we have what we hope for. Faith means we are confident we have, not going to get. We have. It's the title deed. Your title deed proves that it's yours right now. Faith means we are confident we have what we hope for. Another translation says, faith believes it received what it hoped for. That's actually a commentary. Another commentary says, it apprehends as a real fact that which it hopes for. Faith apprehends as a real fact that which it hopes for. It takes what it hopes for. It's confident it has what it hoped for. It lays hold of what it hopes for and brings what it hopes for into the realm of reality. So hope gives faith something to lay hold of. It gives faith something to take. It gives faith something to receive. It gives faith something to apprehend. And if you don't have that something to take, something to lay hold of, then there's nothing. So faith is the substance, glory to God, the confidence, the title deed, the knowing that you have, that you're confident that you have what you hoped for. Amen? I said amen? Now, knowing what belongs to us, say we've been blessed with all these spiritual blessings, knowing what these spiritual blessings are, knowing who you are in Christ, knowing our redemptive rights, knowing the Word, glory to God, creates a positive hope on the inside of us. Aren't you glad for that? That creates a positive image on the inside of us. It creates an image of health and healing and restoration and deliverance and victory and provision and protection and deliverance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But when your imagination turns negative and you just don't see a way out. See, if you don't see a way out and you give up, that is the opposite of hope. When you think, when you have no expectation of this ever being different or ever being better or ever changing, then you don't have hope. If you don't have hope, is your faith going to work? No. Amen. And so if you see yourself defeated, then you will lose hope and you will become heartsick. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Not a particular hope that you didn't get, but hope itself. When hope is deferred, the absence of hope makes your heart sick. Causes people to become down and dark and depressed and you know, broken and negative. And then they anticipate and expect and believe for negative things, dark things, bad things, unhappy things to happen to them in life. Glory to God. See, that person truly becomes hopeless. And listen to me very carefully. In that state, let me put it this way. That state is not only a heavy burden filled with depression and heaviness and despair, but in that state, it also makes it impossible to overcome. A person who is hopeless, doesn't think it can change, doesn't believe it will change, has no expectation of change, is not in a position to walk in victory. Amen. Glory to God. Hope by itself will never give us victory. Sometimes people have great hope, but they never move into faith. So their hopes are not realized. But hope is the first step. It is the first step for faith. Can you say amen? Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now, I want to do something here and share something with you because I think this will help you. Dr. Roy Hicks wrote a book many, many years ago. I was reminded of it, you know, just this week, I think. And he wrote a book, Whatever Happened to Hope? I wasn't even sure I still had that book, but Whatever Happened to Hope? And this is probably 35 years old. Here's the power of hope right here, just on an illustration. He says, hope is a beautiful word. Picture a hospital waiting room. After long, anxious hours of waiting, the doctor appears and says, there is hope. Now picture the scene as that same scene, and the doctor comes in and says, it's only a matter of time. There is no hope. Well, you see the power of hope, don't you? But here's what he points out that I want you to see, because this is really good. And let's turn to Romans 4, and let's read this. Romans 4, 17. Romans 4. We alluded to this. Let's read this. Romans chapter 4. I want to show you how this works. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, that's God to Abraham, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. That which was spoken was God's word. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was fully convinced, was strong in faith, strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced or fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So important to understand this because people don't. Abraham's hope listen to what I said, hope was not based on circumstances or feelings or natural facts. Listen. Never let a bad report shatter your hope. You know your faith is not in reports. Your faith is in the Word of God. But your hope is not in bad reports. Your hope is not in good reports. Hope is based, just like faith, hope is based solely on the truth of God's Word. And so what happens is a lot of times, and this is what we've seen, and this is what confuses people, people really do have faith. They believe God. But then something comes along and says the Word's not true. Hey, things come along all day long that say the Word's not true, but that doesn't make it so. But things come alive in their life that say it's not true. They get some kind of bad report. And what happens is it shatters their hope. And when their hope is shattered, there's nothing for their faith to lay hold of. You see? So it's really more of a hope problem in that instance than it is a faith problem. So Dr. Roy Hicks gives these two illustrations that I think are outstanding just by way of understanding. Praise God. He said, make-believe story. He says, Mary came down with a fever, slight at first. Each day it rose a little higher. She was a spirit-filled believer. She had her friends pray. Maybe it's not a make-believe story. She had her friends pray, and she prayed. She quoted all of the scriptures that applied to healing. After a few days, she went to the doctor believing, even confident, that he would find nothing. But he did. He said that she would have to have surgery immediately. Up to this point, she had kept her hope, but the doctor's ominous diagnosis shattered her hope. She still had faith, but with her hope dead, her faith had nothing to feed. She will be very reluctant ever to try to put her faith to work in the area of healing again. I've seen that happen time and time and time and time again. Now, I've also seen it not happen. But the problem was she got shook up. Amen. She was disturbed. She was moved off the Word of God because of something she saw. You know, she had a bad experience. Something happened. She failed. She made a mistake. She lost her hope. And then when a person loses their hope, they just, you know, they won't stay around a place like this. Sometimes they'll come around a place like this a little bit because they like the message. But then they go, yeah, but that thing in my life, it just hasn't come to pass. And so there must be something else. It must be not always God's will. And this is a shame. People come and they come and they believe in the power of God and they see other people experiencing the power of God. But in this one area of their life, they don't experience it. And they just don't see that it ever changing in their life. And the problem is they've just given up hope that it'll ever work in that life. They know it should work, but they don't blame God, and they don't say the Word's not true. But nonetheless, they fall for the lie of the devil that says the Word's not a failure, but you're a failure. The Word's not a failure. It always works. It's always true, but it won't work for you. For whatever reason, you're doing something wrong. I know you don't blame God. I know you don't say that God's not powerful. I know that faith, you believe that faith really works, but it don't work for you. And their hopes are dashed. And without hope, it won't work. See, the devil telling you that the Word works, see, he'll agree with you when he knows he can't talk you out of something, he'll give up in that area. And once you get firmly rooted and grounded and established in something, then forget it. But he'll just come at you at a different angle. Okay, the Bible's true, the Word, it just don't work for you. That's tantamount to the same thing. It's like a third grader telling his teacher, the multiplication tables just don't work for me. I know they should, but they don't work for me. Yes, they do. They work for everybody. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. Glory to God. Amen. Don't become like this story he's telling of a woman that backs off then and you know. Here's another good illustration he tells. Hallelujah. Here's a man, let's call him Joe. Illustration. Joe is believing God for a necessary raise in salary. He knew there was an opportunity for promotion coming up, one that had a nice increase in pay. The promotion looked certain. It seemed so certain they began to pray and believe for a new car and other things they had long desired but were denied because of their limited income. They even begin to shop around and contemplate all of these purchases. Then one day, Joe came home in a state of utter depression. In response to his wife's question, he had to answer that someone else got the promotion. Now the whole family has had their hope shattered. They will continue to believe that God can do anything. They will continue to pray and serve God, but without hope for their financial needs. What went wrong? Their hope for finances was not based on their faith in God, but on circumstances. Whether or not Joe received the promotion, let me read that again. Their hope for finances was not based on their faith in God, but on circumstances, whether or not Joe received the promotion. How many of you know that whether or not Joe received the promotion has nothing to do with what God said in His Word? We put our eyes on the wrong thing. People come to me for years and say, Pastor, pray for me that I'll get a good report. I say, I'm going to pray for you that you're healed whether you get a good report or not. How about that? A couple of them I even said, just to strike their thing, I said, boy, you really do believe in miracles. When did you have this blood test? Well, 4 days ago. So they've already read it. I'm supposed to get the report tomorrow. And it's already late, you know, Tuesday afternoon. So they've already read it. They've already seen what it is. You really do believe in miracles. You want me to pray that blood test and those results would magically disappear and magically change, and the people that read them would have some kind of loss of mind, and they would, you know, and then, why don't you just believe that you're healed according to the Word of God no matter what the blood test says? What's your hope based on? Now, of course, because you do believe that sooner or later you'll get good results, but blessed be God, I'm healed. I'm holding fast my confession of faith and the unshakable things that I hoped for. And I do not waver. Hallelujah. Somebody says, how long do you stand? Until the Word comes true in my life. Forever. But if you make that kind of dedication and commitment, you probably won't have to stand very long. Their hope for finances was not based on their faith in God, but on circumstances, whether or not Joe received the promotion. Because the promotion and increase of money with it failed to materialize, they now live with things as though they were before. What should have happened here in this home? Their prayer and faith in God should have been faith in God, should have been based on God's promises, even as was Abraham. They permitted their hope to arise because of what was happening at work. Their faith was not feeding their hope. The prospect of a certain promotion was nourishing it. Joe should have come home praising the Lord, his hope high, not considering anything at work, but considering only the promises. He should have been saying, God must have something even greater than the promotion. This way, his hope would have been kept alive, and his faith would have had something to feed. Do you see that? Do you see that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory to God. I'm going to close with this. We mentioned it last week, but I'm going to read it again. I like the psalmist. The psalmist is talking about the different things he's facing in life, and he's got enemies, and he's got troubles, and he's got woes, and, you know, things don't look too good in his life at the moment. And he kind of concludes in Psalms 42:11 saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you troubled? Why are you disturbed? Why are you worried? Why are you depressed? Why are you upset? The implication there is you shouldn't be. Why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him. Or as other translation says, for I will praise Him regardless. Amen. The Voice translation says, why am I so distraught? Why am I so disturbed? Why can't I just hope in God? Despite all my emotions, I will believe and praise the One who saves and delivers and rescues me, my God. Why can't I just, despite that bad report, despite the fact that I didn't get that emotion, despite my emotions that are running wild right now and screaming at me and yelling at me and telling me there's no use and it'll never change, that child will never change, this will never happen, you'll never get the promotion, you'll never get healed, I will believe and praise the One who saves and delivers and heals and rescues me, my God. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. I want you to do something. I want you to do something because I feel impressed by the Spirit of God so You either cooperate or you don't. But come up here to the front. Come up here to the front. Come up here to the front. Thank you, Lord. 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 Amen. Amen, 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 amen. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I pray that the God of all hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will abound in hope and overflow with confidence in His providence promises this morning. Now, just close your eyes. Reverence God. Think about God. Glory to God. I want you to think about what is bugging you right now. Maybe nothing. Praise God. What's your biggest concern right now? What's, if anything, what's disturbing you or troubling you? What's bothering you the most? What tempts you right now the most to be discouraged? What's tempting you to be discouraged? You got it? What's your biggest concern right now? What's your biggest problem at the moment? Now begin to remember God's goodness, God's power. Remember He's faithful to keep His promises. Remember that He's your helper. Remember that He's your deliverer. See, the psalmist said, God is my help. He's the help of my account. In other words, He's my deliverer. I want you to remember He's your deliverer. He's your helper. He's your protector. He's the one that takes care of you. Glory to God. And now, by inspiration of the Lord, cast your care of that thing over on the Lord. Cast it over on the Lord. I know you can hear 1,000 messages over that, but just slip right back into worry sometimes. Just say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. If you read that scripture properly, it says, cast your care over on the Lord, and then let the Lord know what you want to happen. Say, Lord, ask Him to take care of the thing, in other words. Let your request, casting all your care upon Him, and let your request be made known unto God. Glory to God. Amen. Don't worry about anything, but let your request be made unto God with thanksgiving. In other words, you're letting Him know what your request is with thanksgiving. Why are you giving thanks? Because you believe He's taking care of the problem. So cast your care over on the Lord. Amen. Ask Him to take care of this thing that's bothering you the most, that's tempting for you to be discouraged the most. And now, as the psalmist says, glory to God. I will believe and praise the one who saves. Lift your hands and praise Him and worship Him as your deliverer, as your helper, as the one that's taking care of this. Glory to God. I have hope and I have faith in the name of Jesus. I believe this situation is taken care of. I receive it taken care of right now in the name of Jesus. And just praise Him and thank Him for it. Lift your voice. Let God hear your voice. Lift your voice and tell Him hallelujah. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, I'm not giving up. I'm not down. I'm not depressed about this thing. I serve Almighty God, hallelujah. Glory to God, despite my emotions, despite the bad reports, despite what I heard just this morning, despite what I saw the other day, I will believe in the praise, the one who saves and delivers me. My God, we save, we praise, and thank You that it's taken care of. We thank You that it's done in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Glory to God. I said glory to God. Listen to this. I saw this right before I came out this morning because I hadn't read this book in a long time. He goes on to say, faith is the substance of things, whether they be healing, finances, home, marriage, direction, hoped for. If you're only hoping for the thing desired, then faith is ruled out and you will lose any hope. As I have been ministering this truth, he's talking specifically about those two stories he's told, about people that said, I see what happened to me. I do believe. I believe God. I know God's word true. I believe. But something happened in their life. Maybe just too much time happened and I lost my hope. As he's telling these stories, he says, I've been ministering this truth. Many have come up to me to confess that this is exactly what happened to them. It has been especially so with those who are praying for individuals with terminal sickness. As the person worsened, their hope diminished. As their hope diminished, their faith had nothing to nurture. Thus, their faith, though still strong in the promises, lost the battle. Well, that's just for information's sake, amen, just to help us. But he says, when he talks about Psalms 42:11, why are you cast down? For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance, my God. The very simple answer to anything that would cause you to be depressed is to quicken. Quicken. Stir up. Bring to life. Revive. It's to quicken your hope by praising God. Quicken your hope. Restore your hope. Revive your hope. Stir up your hope by praising God. Amen. Recently, an Army lieutenant told me he was given up to die with cancer. No one had ever lived very long that had had the same diagnosis. When all hope was gone, when he was down to 85 pounds, he found Jesus as Lord. He says, I just began to praise and praise and praise and praise. 3 years later, as he related this to me, he is back to normal weight and normal health. There is a connection, Dr. Hicks says, between discouragement and sickness. Don't allow it to happen to you. Don't allow it to happen. Keep hope burning with expectancy by much vocalized praise and worship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift your hands and praise Him again. Hallelujah. We praise and worship You, God, King of kings and Lord of lords. We magnify and bless You. We thank You that You have healed us. We thank You that You have delivered us. We thank You that You have set us free. We thank You that You protect us. We thank You that You meet abundantly and supply our every financial and physical need in the name of Jesus. We thank You for that, Father. Glory to God. We thank You for restored marriages, restored health. We thank You for family members who are lost and prodigals coming back home. We haven't lost hope. They're bigger, worse people than they have melted under the compassion of God than these. We see them coming home. We see them coming home. We see them coming home. Stop seeing them. I hear the Lord say, stop seeing them the way you see them. Start seeing them as a man of God, as a woman of God, in church with their hands lifted, praising and worshiping God and living for God and doing the will of God in their lives. Glory. See them that way. See them that way. Get a positive image of that. That's your hope arising. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Don't let anything ever shatter your hope. God's on the throne and you're still breathing. So don't let anything ever shatter your hope. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank You, Jesus. 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 Well, turn to somebody this morning, hug on their neck or shake their hand, tell them that you love them, and you're dismissed. God bless you. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.